So Johnny came by to help us clean out the office after the election. And one of the things we had was the windows, these big bay windows, had been painted with big Sheffield, campaign stuff. So I was in there with a paint scraper, like a razor blade scraper, scraping off the paint ever so slowly. And so he came and joined me. And, these windows were huge. And so for 2 days, we just sat there scraping paint. And, I asked who he was, and we started talking and learned he had come out of, he had been a military, if you will, a military brat. And he had been a Bartlett graduate and had gone off to Claremont McKenna for his undergraduate work and just come back, jumped into campaign work. Anyway, we were scraping paint. Like the third day, this lady Candy used to work the front desk came in and she goes, "What are you boys doing?" And she grabbed a wet rag. She got the rag wet, and she started washing the water-soluble paint off the windows. And we just all burst out laughing. But had it not been for that couple of days, I would never have gotten to know the guy. So, we talked about everything about, life aspirations, politics, of course, and, the roots of our families, all of that, And so we really, by an accident, ended up becoming fast friends. And, we all roommated in Fairview together in 83.
I wanted to ask you about that. I noticed that Charles Woolforth in his ADN column about Johnny described it as a bohemian group of people living together. Is that accurate? What do you think about that?
Well, the house didn't have a lot of doors, I'll tell you that. It was a rundown, terrible, terrible place. Johnny had the only room with doors. So I slept in a room that was basically the passageway between the kitchen and the bathroom. That article described him dancing around to Elton John. He did all the time. He wasn't very musical, except for as an appreciator of music. The rest of us did play music together, and so we would get people together and do music there. The back house, we were what's called the front house. They were connected by a tunnel underneath them. I mean, a real tunnel, like a 30-foot tunnel. The back house was an old warehouse, and it was really the hub of 1970s, what was called back then the ad hoc Democrats. And so it had been a, it had some historic political gravitas. We weren't ad hoc Democrats ourselves. We were just, young guys living in a place that was cheap. But after that, Johnny started doing his work with Aisha Gilbert and eventually moved to down to Juneau. And each of us drifted away from the house eventually.
Well, I guess, 30 years in the legislature between the House and the Senate, and so maybe this is kind of a big question, but what do you think were his biggest political victories in Juneau as a state legislator?
Without a doubt, his number one nameable victory in terms of a specific thing was being the architect with Lyda Green of the bipartisan coalition in the Senate, because that, as he often said, led to his saving spree of roughly $16 billion in the CBR, Constitutional Budget Reserve. That in and of itself did more to stabilize the state's finances during downtimes than any other single act that a legislature has taken in the last 40 years. He would probably say, if he were with us today, that his greatest contribution was literally being a voice for those who were never listened to, in particular the disabled community and disenfranchised communities, young people, the elderly. He would have said that was his greatest victory. But if you want to look at a thing that could be measured, it would be the fact that he saved those communities from hardship by having saved, with his coalition, roughly $16 billion. Gary Stevens, who's now the rules chair here in the Senate, served with him during that time, often talks about those as golden days or halcyon days of the legislature, in particular the Senate, because of their ability to work across party lines toward a common goal. And, I think, Johnny's not with us now. I would say that's something that he should be remembered for.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I feel a little weird asking you about this, but I think it is notable that after Johnny retired in 2016, he did come out as gay. And I wonder, did you talk to him about that prior to that? Did he struggle with that? And why did he wait until he was out of office to come out?
We didn't ever question Johnny about his dating habits when we were roommates. In his personal conversations with me, and these would be when he was in his 50s, I think he struggled with other people's challenges and felt that if he actually said something, it would help others feel more comfortable, whether they were in public office or even privately, or you know, in dealing with their own preferences in a more open way. I think it was hard for him to do it. You know, he came from a fairly strict background and upbringing, but he was loved by people. And my comments to him at the time were, you know, people love you, buddy. Do what you need to do. You know, be who you are. But Johnny, he held it inside. And I think for many of us as who are his friends, that was a very difficult thing to see when we realized that there was, you know, maybe his life could have been easier if the society had been more opening and welcoming to a person who was gay being in politics. But there wasn't that kind of welcoming environment, certainly not in the 80s and not really so much in the 90s. I think Johnny would be pleased at the direction the world is taking, where who you love and how you love is a personal decision that that should be honored by others.
It seems like one thing I'm picking up from reading about Johnny and talking to you is how much he really cared about other people. And it seems like he had a great memory for people's families and things like that. And I wondered if you felt the same way and what you think about that.
He clearly did care about other people. He was constantly in touch with us. He always was reaching out. If there was an issue that happened when my wife's mother passed away, he found out about it and sent a note immediately. So for his friends, he was always somebody who reached out, without a doubt. He could be tough, though, too. You know, don't get me wrong. A person is a person. Human beings aren't perfect, and he could get mad just as easily. If we didn't, you know, communicate with him on a regular basis, he let us know that he felt neglected, you know, and he was pretty forceful about it. But I think you can't care about others if you don't also care about yourself and how you're treated. Yes, he was a caring man, but he could be a tough man too. He could be hard to work with from time to time because he was so demanding in terms of, you know, the standards he set for himself and for others, but always with a deep sense of empathy, absolutely a deep sense of love for those of us who knew him and for those who didn't, frankly.